My wife has given me instructions. A couple ladies had to back out on going to Walkertown, so they've got motel rooms reserved. If any of you ladies would like to go last minute, you see my wife, there is a cost. How much?
$35 to register and then the room fee.
Okay, $35 for the conference and then the cost of a shared room. So see my wife, if you'd be able to go, they'd love for you to go. It's a wonderful conference for ladies. Teenage girls can go also. We need workers to sign up for the fall festival. There are sign-up sheets out there. And this is a enjoyable time for the kids. We have games for the kids. I bring my ATV and my trailer and ride them around on a hayride and run into the telephone pole and all kind of stuff, you know. And they have a big time. And they get candy, if you bring candy. We need you to donate candy, and you can wait till after Halloween and then go buy the discounted candy to bring for the fall festival. And then we like folks to make a dessert. The kids love the cake walk and things like that, and they get a cake or they get cupcakes. It's fine. And if you split them up in groups of six or something like that, they can win six cupcakes with a standing on the right number, you know, and stuff like that. And they'll have those eaten by the time they get to the car, so no problem. Fall Festival's a great time. There'll be a bouncy house in the gym set up for the littler kids, and a popcorn machine, and lots of candy prizes, lots of games for the kids. So help us out with it and sign up for it, and we'll have a great time. The ladies had a chili cook-off and a dessert testing yesterday, and Diane won first place with her dessert and second place with chili. Boy, she'd why. And Mallory, did you get first place with your chili? Wow. Something about that time you were out in Colorado must have helped you to get that chili cook-off just right. Well, congratulations, ladies, and I'm sorry I was not here to taste test. I would have loved to have been. But my wife did bring me a slice of Diane's cake. We know about that cake, and we love it dearly. It's peanut butter topping and then chocolate on top of the peanut butter or vice versa. Oh, yeah, chocolate on top. And chocolate cake, and boy, it was good. Excellent. All right. If you have your Bibles, turn with me, if you would, please, to the book of Colossians. Brother Jeff Wheels is going to speak for us tonight. He's a new granddad again. That baby finally came, number five. And what was it, Jeff, a girl or boy?
Girl.
And she only weighed 8 pounds and 3 ounces. As late as she was, I was expecting a 10-pounder or something, you know. I've caught fish bigger than that, you know. Yuck. Oh, that's wonderful. And Brother Jeff's going to speak for us tonight. I look forward to hearing him. We'll be here, Lord willing. Colossians chapter 2 in your Bibles. And I moved my bookmark. Verse 11 of chapter 2, we saw the reconciling work of Christ from Colossians. We've been thinking about the theme of revival all this year, about how the church needs reviving. Individuals, we need reviving to be dedicated disciples for Christ. Things we need to put away out of our life and draw close to God. And Colossians has been giving us understanding of the relationship as Paul wrote to the church. We saw the mystery of the church revealed. How, whether it's male or female, Jew or Gentile, that we're one in Christ, and God works through us by His Spirit to guide us in our daily lives. And in Colossians 2, that verse number 8 was the reminder of being beware of teachers who, through their philosophies, lead people astray. It is important that we know the Word of God and we stay close to God and we won't have someone lead us astray. Bank tellers usually can find phony bills. because they deal with the real thing all the time, they usually spot one that is not the real thing, and they have some tests. There's a marker pen they can mark to see if it turns colors. There's the strip in the bill they look for. There's certain things about the feel of the paper that they're aware of and all that sort of thing. Doesn't mean it can't happen. Brother Jimmy got a phony $100 bill, wasn't it, from the bank? And then they wouldn't take it back because he wasn't standing right there in front of the teller, you know, when he realized he had a phony $100 bill. And it can happen, but they have a lot of things to beware of, and Paul's writing to Colossians to beware of false teachers and how they take people captive in their minds through pagan philosophies, through deceit, through satanic ways of deceiving people. And so we must be careful of all those things. Revival can come to those who are complete in Christ. And that's what Colossians tells us today, beginning in verse number 11. In whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened. That word quickened means made alive. Together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of an holy day or a new moon or of the Sabbath days, which are a shadow of the things to come, but the body is of Christ. Father, as we look into your word, help me to help your people today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And verse number 8 of this text, we saw that warning. And then we understand the fullness of God in verse number 9 is in the person of Christ. In the Godhead bodily, Christ is the fullness of God. His deity is real and is able to do for us all that is needed that we are complete in God. Now, sinful man obtains many things in his redemption. We believed on the Lord Jesus Christ and God saved us. There's a lot more to it than just the fact that God forgave us of our sins. That's a big thing. He not only forgave us of our sins, he removed them from us. As far as the east is from the west, as deep as the ocean is deep, He buried them, he cast them behind his back, never to recall them against us again. And it's a wonderful thing to have forgiveness of sins. The gospel message itself in 1 Corinthians 15 tells us about the forgiveness of sins. Paul said, "For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. And then he was seen of all these people alive from the dead during a 40-day period of time, and then he ascended back into heaven with the Father on his throne." We have the forgiveness and removal of sins when we get saved. We receive the gift of righteousness, something we did not earn. It is called justification in Romans 5:1. "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, wherein we're granted access." Access to God comes because of our relationship to Jesus Christ. We received that when we got saved. In Colossians 1 and verse 14, the scripture says, "In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins." So God not only forgave us of our sins and removed our sins from us, he has redeemed us, which means he has purchased us. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 tells us that he purchased us with his own blood. We've been bought with a price. We were bought back from sin by God and granted salvation by grace through faith, wherein God's mercy has been made known unto us. All of this is a part of what happens to us the moment we are saved. We are given these by God. We are given righteousness. We are redeemed or purchased. We are reconciled to God. We saw that in Colossians 1 in verse number 20. Having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, including us who were alienated, not a part of the Jewish nation of knowing the scriptures or having the promises given to them. We were outside all that before we were saved, but Christ paid the price for our sins in the same way he did for the Jews who would believe in him. He has granted us eternal life. He has given us the earnest of our salvation, the Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit has sealed us until the day of redemption of the body. When we go home to be with the Lord and get a new body, until that day, the Holy Spirit has us secured and sealed. We have the stamp of ownership. When a king seals a letter with his ring, God has sealed us with the Spirit of God. We belong to him, and we are protected and safe because his seal is upon us. We are granted the Holy Spirit, the earnest of our salvation, the down payment, proving he will finish what he has started within us. We are granted eternal life. Jesus said he is eternal life. In John chapter 11, at the grave of Lazarus, as he spoke with Lazarus' sister, he told him, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. We are sanctified, 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse number 11. I want to read that verse because it's filled with so much doctrinal position about our new life in Christ. He begins in verse 9 telling about the unrighteous who are not going to enter the kingdom of heaven. All these different sins that men are known by, the deceived, the fornicator, the idolater, the adulterer, the effeminate, the thieves, covetous, drunkards, revilers, extortioners, none of these shall inherit the kingdom of God. Verse 11 says, and such were some of you, but ye are washed, ye are sanctified, you're justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. When God saved us, he cleansed us of all of our past. If we were in that list of terrible sins, and many of us were in that list, but God saved us and we're no longer looked on in that way. We've been cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ, sanctified, set apart unto God. Colossians 1, 13 and 14, we are delivered from the kingdom of darkness and translated into the kingdom of light. 1 Peter says we become a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. We are a possession of the Lord. You got many possessions, things that are precious to you. And you are that to God. You are his precious treasure that he paid for with the blood of his own son that we might be saved. And he has made us a part of the priesthood of believers to offer spiritual sacrifices unto God. I'm thankful that we don't have to offer lambs and goats and calves and heifers and all that sort of thing, that there's a lot of blood involved in that and the work on the altar. I don't know if you've ever killed an animal and cut up the meat and all that. There's a lot of work to that, and it's nasty work. It's smelly work. As a boy, we used to have, well, it got cold, and we'd have hog killings. I'm out in the backyard, and I'd have to carry the slop to them every day. And then when it was time, we would kill them, but it had to be cold outside because pork spoils in warm weather, so you had to have cold weather. Big boiling pot of water, and we'd rub all the hair off of them, and kill them and cut them up, and we kill them first. And then you rub all the hair off of them with a hot water, all that, you know. And the kids get to, play with the bladder. You blow it up. If you didn't ever play with the bladder, you don't know what fun is, you know. And get your stick and play ball with the bladder, you know. It's like a basketball with out the basketball outside, you know. It's like the inside. And you can roast the tail and eat it, you know, and all kind of good things go on when the hog killing takes place. But it's nasty. It smells. You got to wash the chitlins, you know. You got to take the intestines and take a hose and wash them all out good. And then they cut them up with their shears and deep fry them, you know, and all that sort of thing. They make hog head cheese, souse meat, liver mush. All of that comes from a hog, including bacon and ham, country ham. Country ham's, you know, cured in salt. And you eat a little bit of that and you drink water all day. You know, I mean, there's a lot to it. Thank God we're not priests that have to kill cows and slay them and cut them up and put them on the altar and all that sort of thing. We offer spiritual sacrifices to God, the praise from our lips, our giving unto God, our service unto God. All of that's a part of our priesthood. We are granted heavenly citizenship. We who are saved are citizens of heaven. We're just here on a temporary mission, like pilgrims passing through a new land on this earth. We're looking forward to going home one day to heaven, where our citizenship is, where our Savior is, where our treasures are, and our brethren who we love have gone on before. We're made part of the family of God. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. We are His children. We are brothers and sisters in Christ because of our relationship with God. We're granted access to God in Romans chapter 5 and verse 2. We are granted an inheritance with the Lord Jesus Christ. He will share His inheritance of all things with the believers one day. We'll praise Him and we'll thank Him and we'll sing praise to Him. And He'll reward the believers with crowns, and we'll cast our crowns at His feet and worship Him. He will grant us glorified bodies like His body that will live forever and forever. We're made complete in Christ. We're made whole. Our name is recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life. And my friends, God keeps the books. The lost are going to be judged by the things written in the books about them. But our name's in the Lamb's Book of Life. We're secure in Christ. We are called the sons of God. We're granted unction by the Spirit to have understanding of the Scripture. All of this is just a part of our getting saved. When we got saved, all these things happened to us the moment that we received Christ as our Savior. Now, people say, well, you can lose your salvation, you need to get saved again. You can't get saved again. If you could get lost, you could never be saved again. Christ would have to come back and die a second time for you on the cross. If His death was not sufficient to keep you saved, is what the Scripture teaches. But it was sufficient to keep you. And when you sin, you don't have to go through all these things again. You don't need to regain all those things. You still have those things. You're just a brother who's committed sin who needs to confess his sin to God and turn his mind away from that, a repentance, a change of mind in living in sin, and confess to God your sin, and He'll cleanse you of your sin and wash away all your unrighteousness, and all of these things are unchanged in your relationship with God. Now, because of all that, it is as if we were crucified and buried with Christ and rose again with Christ from the dead. Look back at verse 11 and 12 of Colossians chapter 2. It says, in the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with Him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with Him through faith in the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. And you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision in your flesh, hath he quickened or made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. Romans 6:6 tells us again that we are crucified with Christ. Paul said, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. The life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Galatians chapter 2 and verse number 20. 2 Corinthians 5:17, Paul said, we are new creatures in Christ. All things are new. Old things are passed away. We have an identification with Christ that is made public. Follow the Lord in believer's baptism. Buried in the likeness of his death. Raised in the likeness of his resurrection to walk in newness of life. Romans 6, verse 3 and 4. Romans 10, verse 9 and 10. All of these reveal to us the salvation we have in Christ as if we just died with him, were buried with him, and rose with him, taking away our sins and granting us new life in Christ. Thirdly, in verse 13 and 14, all accusations against us in our past are gone. In Rome, when they crucified one on the cross, they nailed above his head to the wooden cross the charges against him: murderer, thief, whatever it may be. What did they name above Jesus? King of the Jews. The Pharisees said, don't write King of the Jews. He's the King of the Jews. Noted in all of the languages that people there would understand, in Latin and in Greek and in Hebrew. And these charges were made. Well, you see, all of our sins were nailed to the cross with Jesus. He paid the price on every sin for all men, that all men have the opportunity to come and be saved through Christ. Before we were saved, we were found dead in trespasses and sins in the mind of God. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 and 2 says, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit of disobedience that works in the lives of people. Satan had us where he wanted us before we got saved. But when we got saved, all our transgressions and all of our sins were nailed to the cross of Christ, and he paid the price on them all. Without hope, without God, but in Christ we're made alive. And one day it will be declared. Christ has declared us already before the angels of heaven. They've rejoiced when sinners repent and get saved in heaven. One day our Lord will have us there to honor and glorify him, the conqueror, because he hath made us more than conquerors in overcoming the sins of the flesh. Romans 8:1, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Now, God takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked. He said in the book of Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 23, but that the wicked is the mind of God and the will of God. Paul was made a minister and a witness to open the eyes of the Gentiles and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, to receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith. Acts 26, verse 18 and 33, verse number 11. The God we serve, Micah said in chapter 7, verse 18, who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity and passeth by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He retaineth not his anger forever, because he delighteth in mercy. Verse 19, thou wilt cast all their sins into the depths of the sea. No other religion can offer this to men. There is no other God who can offer this to men. They offer a system of laws and rituals and works. You have to dress a certain way and live a certain way. Those women have to wear those hijabs. What a terrible hot thing that would be to have to live in. I heard one black comedian say one time he'd like to become a Muslim, but they're going to have to come up with some kind of Muslim short set if they're going to encourage him to change over into the Muslim faith. You know, you don't have to try to live by all those laws and rules and regulations and all the things they require. You just need to be saved. And when you're saved, you have a relationship with God because the fullness of God is in the person of Jesus Christ. And when you receive Him, you have it all. Motivated by the love God has expressed to us, we serve Him. We seek to overcome our daily battle with temptation and sins that we might please Him. And we forgive others their sins because God hath forgiven us. Boy, if I could write the list of all my sins on that wall over there and know God forgave every one of them, why would I hold one thing against somebody else that's on this wall over here? God has forgiven us. Let's forgive others. Be ready to do that and quick to do that. All the accusations against us were nailed to the cross. And then the Bible says, verse 14, blotting out the handwriting of ordinance against us, which was contrary to us, took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. Then verse 15, having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them. In Rome, when a battle had taken place and they returned to their land of the king, victorious in battle, those who distinguished themselves in some particular way, like our tradition today to give out bronze stars and silver stars and purple hearts and medal of honor and those kind of things, the same way Rome gave what was called a triumph. The one who had distinguished himself would ride in a chariot pulled by white horses. And the captives that he had brought from the foreign land would be chained and would walk before him. His victory would be proclaimed, and all the things he had done, like we read the commendation for the Medal of Honor, and see all the things this person did to risk life and limb to save others and was granted this medal. They pronounce the victory of the victor. His children would ride with him in the chariot. They'd be dressed in white. They would cast flowers along the way. He would be honored, and they would say, "This is the manner in which the king will honor the man who pleases him." The children share in his glory. Do you remember the story of Esther and how Mordecai told the king's servants about a plot to kill the king? And how he went to Haman, who wanted to hang all the Jews and had a gallows in his backyard. He ended up getting hung on himself. And he asked Haman, "What should I do to honor a man who has risked his life to expose this plot to me?" He said, "Oh, king, I'd put him on a white horse in the streets and proclaim his victory and all this sort of thing." Mordecai. Haman hated Mordecai, wanted to hang him. And the king made him go and do that for that man. You see, that was the similar forerunner of the triumph of the Roman Empire and how they treated people. Christ triumphed over Hades. He said to the thief on the cross, "Today thou shalt be with me in paradise." Paradise was a compartment of Hades. Hell was there where the lost went and were tormented in flames. But those who had believed on the Lord were waiting in paradise until Christ died and rose from the grave. He proclaimed his victory to them, and he released all the captives and took them to heaven with him, and now paradise is in heaven with the Lord. And when anyone dies today as a believer, to be absent from their body, they are present with the Lord in paradise in heaven. His tribute proclaimed Today, all of those of us who are saved will march through the line to proclaim to our Savior our thanks and our worship to Him who loved us and gave Himself for us. Now then, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us and gave Himself for us. Through Christ, we are pardoned and transformed into a new creature. We're made a part of God's family. We become beloved children of God, granted an inheritance with our elder brother, who is our Savior and our Lord. Paul said, "The only thing I will glory in is the cross of Jesus Christ. Not my own flesh, which I cannot even trust, but I'll glory in the cross because of what Jesus did for us all." You have an inheritance in Christ. You're complete in Him. If you know Christ is your Savior, all this belongs to you. Let's stand together, please. Father, we pray, Lord, that if you have not received Christ as Savior,